Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's behind the glass. It's a Monday edition of the program. Lots to get to today. We'll talk some football. Football season's getting here very, very fast. And maybe we're wanting football more than we've wanted in like 12 years, Joe.
Sounds about right.
We want football.
That's how I feel.
We always want football. We always want football.
Yeah.
But the Astros are making us really want some football.
Yeah, they are.
We chase the fight.
They're actually running away from the fight a little bit more now. They've lost three straight series. Everybody's like, hey, All-Star break. We're going to get them. Coming out of the All-Star break, and they lose three in a row. They get swept by the Orioles.
They did not.
Didn't happen. It was very, very bad. We'll get to the good, bad, and ugly. Not much good, but we'll talk some Stros. We'll talk some football a little bit later. Did you guys do sweats of the day last week while I was not not here?
Yeah. Joe, should I tell them or should you?
Yeah, we didn't win a single one.
All right. How bad did y'all do?
We lost 6 units last week.
6 units? All right, yeah. I'm going to put a little special tab in this year when I'm here and when I'm not.
I couldn't believe it was comically bad. Like we couldn't get
I think the worst anything. Was when we bet NBA Summer League.
Well, we
that
have,
was probably the low
well, we
point.
We didn't have options.
No, there weren't many options that day. But we rushed the bet before we did any research.
Yeah.
And had we done the research, I think we'd have done okay.
We had like five.
Sure.
We had like five.
Yeah, because we literally found out the answer, or at least the trend, like 30 seconds after the bet was placed, yeah. and it came through. Okay, which is play the under, but we went over.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, so we got smoked.
Huh. 75 on the Twitch says, what a glorious day. No more World Cup. Well, we'll talk World Cup in a little bit because we don't want to really talk Astros. We'll talk Astros. You know we'll talk Astros.
It doesn't really want to.
We'll talk a lot of Astros, which they should be doing some stuff today. Ronel Blanco's coming back, which I am kind of excited to see what Ronel Blanco looks like. First time we've laid eyes on him in a long time. But then, like, does anybody land on the IL? Like, they sent down Brian King yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
They were playing a pitcher down yesterday. Well, like they're gonna be doing some stuff. Speaking of the sweats of the day, though, which on the year when I'm here, we're plus 5 units. On the year when I'm not, down 6 units. And then, of course, you can do the math. We're betting tennis today because there's nothing else to bet.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty light right now without the World Cup. I missed the World Cup
already.
Yeah, like it was fun for sweat of the day. It was fun just to have things on. During the day at all times, like every single day for a month, basically, we had something to watch of live sports. Like Major League Baseball, figure it out. Put games on MLB Network at 2 o'clock every single day.
Why?
Because
there's a terrible idea. I'm already 3 minutes in and I already think you're taking
one game. One game a day.
Trash.
Just during the day. Why not?
Why?
It's fun.
If you're an owner of a baseball team, you want to give away an evening gate a day game gate?
You can put it in certain ballparks for the most part.
What?
I mean, like you could say like you don't go to Pittsburgh very often because it wouldn't do well. But like in a lot of ballparks, it still does well.
Day games?
Yeah.
Instead of evening games on a Monday?
Well, I mean, the evening game would be better, but I like day baseball. We need more day baseball.
I don't like this take by you.
Sorry. We need more of it. There should be things on during the day of sports. It'd be the only thing on.
Right, but the owners aren't going to want to give away the gate.
I know. That's all that matters.
Anyways, we're on Spiteri today, plus 3.5 games.
Who
we're on Spiteri and Mazzaroni at over 20.5 games.
I do not know this man.
We're on Walton at minus 4.5 games, and we're on Walton Bickner or something like that at under 20 games. So those are our sweats of the day.
Yeah, I don't know any of those people.
I don't either.
Yeah, when you first put it in the group chat, Joe and I thought it might be cricket.
Yeah, which, I mean, y'all could just Google the names.
No, it's more fun to guess.
I don't know why it was worth the question. Like, what sport is it? Google it, you'll know.
I don't even know. Like, what tennis is this?
Well, the first one that we're on, Delella Spiteri, who's an Italian, is facing Alessandro Mazzarola, at the Palermo Ladies Open.
Oh, it's ladies tennis?
Well, that one of them is.
Who the f*** is that guy?
woman. It's a woman.
And which one? What was the names of these people again?
That one's Spiteri and Mazzola.
Okay, I see that one here. Okay.
And then we're on some other men's match. I can't find it, though.
That's what, like, what's their names?
Walton is one of them. The other one starts with a Bick, B-I-C-K.
Are you sure it's today?
Yeah.
This might be a cry for help today.
Blaze Bicknell and Adam Walton, USTA.
I don't see that anymore.
I don't dude. Either. I don't,
yeah, what tournament is
I don't,
this?
I don't think that's today.
Because Wimbledon finished last week, right?
Like, no, it was today. It was today because the way that I've picked the matches were games that or matches that started at 3, unless there was rain or something.
Yeah, I don't see this anywhere. I'm looking at tennis. I don't see anything.
Because whenever I pulled it up and whenever I sent you guys the text, I said, here, give me events that start at 3, and it started at 3. But yeah, I don't know where – I can't find it anymore.
I can't either. Is it still active in your account?
I'm looking.
Because I don't see it listed anywhere in here. Are you sure you bet tennis?
So this is like an offshoot
right
tennis league?
No, it's right here. No, it's the ATP Challenger Bloomfield Hill.
Yeah, I don't see that on ESPN's website, so I have no idea. It's not, I don't even see the event listed, dude.
ATP Tennis. Yeah, it's right here. Well, I can't find the I'll find it in a minute.
I hope it starts next Monday.
No, it can't do that. It can't start next Monday. Like I don't think you're understanding what I'm telling you. Whenever you go to the certain account that I use,
yeah,
you can look at upcoming events. So I looked at events that started at exactly 3 o'clock.
Gotcha.
Yeah, maybe it's just some like random minor league tennis and they don't keep the score on ESPN. Now that's possible. That could be in play. But yeah, we're on Walton over what'd I say, Bicknell? Blaze Bicknell?
Sounds right.
Blaze Bicknell. So we'll see how that goes today. Hopefully it wasn't college tennis. It can't be college tennis, right? They're out of season.
Yeah, they're out of school.
They're out of season. All right. Good. We've kicked the can down the road enough on the Astros. Good, bad, ugly. Start with the bad and ugly whenever they lose a series, and they lost a series yesterday. Where do you want to begin, Joe?
Gosh, there's so many places to start. I'll start with Brian King. You know, I mean, I can't believe he got sent down. Like just how bad it's gotten so fast for him to not be worthy of a roster spot. When, like, before you were gone last week, the conversation was, yeah, we feel pretty confident about who's going to go out there in the 7th, 8th, and the 9th. You feel good about it. You'd like someone to be a righty, but you feel pretty good about who's going out there for the most part. He was bad again this weekend and, like, rightfully sent down. So he was the first person I put on my list.
Yeah, he was brutal. Like, he was your setup guy on Friday, and then he was demoted after the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that's how quick it happened. Like, talk about a fall from grace, you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Like, it's a shock that it can go that bad that quickly for someone. And they clearly, like, there's, like, maybe, like, they like, analytically were nervous about him or something, because I can't believe, like, they're already just like, yep, we're done. Like, now they have two guys that are coming
well,
back.
Well, I think a lot of it was because of the lack of flexibility on the team.
Yeah, and the moves like, the moves were announced. Chandler's reported the news.
So did McTaggart. Why did you go Chandler?
Because that's who I saw tweet it first.
Okay, I saw McTaggart tweet it first.
I saw Chandler's. So you can read McTaggart's tweet if you want.
Brian McTaggart, some roster moves. Delgado option, Blanca Souza reinstated from the IL. So there it is. So a lot of this, though, is roster flexibility. Like he's certainly not in good form, but you don't have a lot of pitchers that have minor league options, you know? Like, they already had to DFA Pearson. So you have a guy who has options. He's pitching poorly. Well, there you go. Brian King, you're going to send down to AAA. It would be interesting, though, if Brian King was pitching well, what they would have done.
Yeah, it would have been a lot. Like, it could have been like a De Los Santos? I have no idea.
I mean, he's been pitching well.
No, I know. Like, it's... Well,
I think it was either an Arrighetti option or a Javier DFA.
Yeah, Javier probably would have made the most sense, actually. But they must be holding out hope for that one of just not having to eat the money.
Well, King helped them out on that front.
Yeah, you know, he definitely did because he's terrible all of a sudden.
Now, what this move does say, Joe, is that Jeremy Pena and Christian Walker are not going to land on the IL, which I'm surprised on Walker specifically.
Yeah, and we'll see if they're in the lineup tonight. I know Joe Espada said he hopes at least one of them is in the lineup, but it'd be – if we go 2 days in a row where they're not in the lineup, it's going to be like, yeah, like that's not – encouraging. I think specifically for Walker.
I mean, they announced it as a hip. That didn't look like a hip to me. You know, like he's grabbing at his rib cage. He's grabbing at his oblique, and he's had a history of obliques.
Yeah.
Like, I thought immediately that he was landing on the IL, but I think that with everybody. Like, as soon as somebody leaves a game, I automatically think, like, this is my default. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 10 games on the IL. That's 10 games. I automatically think that with everybody. So it might be, like, you know, a weakness of mine, or at least my prevailing thought. Let's go with prevailing thought. I like that better than a weakness of mine. It's my prevailing thought that any time a player gets lifted with injury, they're going to land on the IL. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, looks like they're going to avoid him. No, but Brian King's lousy. He's terrible. He's very bad. I had any Brian King outing on mine. What else you got?
Hunter Brown can't find the strike zone.
Career high walks.
Yeah, just not. It's just not. It's just flat. Not good enough. Like it's. I'm not sure it matters with the other things we'll talk about here in the bad and the ugly of if he would have pitched like Cy Young Hunter Brown, but it has been a brutal stretch since he has come back from the injury list of being totally incapable of finding the strike zone. I mean, it was four walks and a hit by pitch in his last start, I think, or five,
which was also a career high at the time.
So he's just so can we bet on the over 6.5 walks in his next start for sweat of the day and just
you can
just trend on this direction. But yeah, he can't find the strike zone. It's awful. It's maybe the worst we've seen Hunter Brown since like Alex Bregman told him to start throwing.
No, it wasn't that bad. No, come on.
No,
that's a bit of a reach.
I don't think it is because he's been so good. Like he has been since he added that pitch. He's basically been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and now he cannot find the strike zone. Like this is the worst we've seen Hunter Brown over a stretch in a very, very long time.
Okay, over a stretch. I thought you meant specifically that game.
No, like over a stretch. No,
because his ERA is near 5, I think, since he returned.
Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant that.
No,
game
sorry, no, not
because he was like. I mean, yes, the command really, really bad. But he wasn't even getting hit around the ballpark. You know, he gave up 2 home runs and, you know, 3 starts ago against Tampa. Like, that was worse than last night. Now, over a stretch, you go to this last 3-game stretch. Okay, all right. Maybe I just misheard you there. Misremembered.
Could be my fault, too.
As the great Roger Clemens once said. Well, it's a dance, Joe. Doing radio is a dance. That's and we true. Haven't danced in over a week.
I know. So it's weird. It's nice to have you back.
We gotta step off. We can't stand on each other's toes.
Yeah.
You know? And I dance like I got 2 club feet. So it's a little bit more difficult. No, Hunter Brown, really, really bad. I had that one as well. What else you got?
Cam Smith, 0 for 13.
Was it that bad?
Yeah.
It's
they
brutal.
Ruined him, man. They ruined him.
It's even
Dana
worse
Brown
than that.
Ruined Cam Smith.
He's 1 for his last 28. His last hit was on July 11th, 1 for his last 28 overall.
They ruined the poor kid. I remember I took so much heat for saying they shouldn't start the season on the opening day roster last year. I got so much criticism for that. So much hate for that. So much disdain. You know how many apologies I've gotten for
Jeremy
that?
Jeremy Branham's right. 0.
None. This is what's bad about this business. Very blessed with what we do. Very thankful for what we do. Happy to be back at work. But this is the struggle, people. This is the struggle. Is that whenever you have a bad take, you never live it down, right? You never live it down. I was getting Will Levis in my comments yesterday, which I said Will Levis is an interesting prospect. I didn't say he was going to be any good. But whenever you're correct about something and you get ridiculed and you get hammered and you get all of the things. You know how many apologies you ever get?
0.
You know how many? You know what? You were right. You know how many you get of those?
None.
So it's kind of hard being us.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard being us.
Plus, Jeremy Branham says so. I guess Cam Smith is ass. So
he is. He's ass. You know
how many times Lance has reached out to me since he said that? Since he went at me for saying that?
0.
You know how many times he's reached out to me?
0
times. Now, would he reach out to me for anything else? No. So don't know if it really can be correlated here. But 0 times. Lance went on a rant about me. Because I said Cam Smith shouldn't be. I was a Cam Smith fan. I like Cam Smith's potential. I said for the sake of Cam Smith, he shouldn't start the season with the Astros. And I got just ripped. I got hated on. You would think that it was like me condoning a Will Levis thing. No recourse from Lance. None.
The only hope at this point is whatever the St. Louis Cardinals did with Jordan Walker, the Astros can do with Cam Smith. Like Jordan Walker last year hit 215 in the majors. He was absolutely abysmal. He's hitting 292 this year, winning the home run derby. Like, and that was his age 23 season, and then he's 24 this year. Felt like Jordan Walker was a big time bust for the Cardinals. Like, that's the only hope for Cam Smith is that he can flip it over in one offseason, whatever's going wrong. But, like, yeah, you look very, very correct at this point with this take.
That's I like your optimism there. Now, Jordan Walker showed some flashes early in his career. Jordan flashes.
His rookie year.
Yeah, 787 is his rookie year, 465 plate appearances. His next 2 years, not good. 619 OPS, 584 OPS, and this year he's turned into like a superstar. Now, another big difference when you're looking at Jordan Walker and when you're looking at Cam Smith, Jordan Walker spent 5 seasons in the minors.
Yeah.
5.
And he was good in almost all of them.
Cam Smith spent half a season in the minors.
What, 5 games at Double A?
Yes. What an idiotic thing to do.
Five seasons versus 5 games
and
at Double A.
And then this is the issue, is because everybody's like, you know, fanatical. Everybody is probably a bit of a homer. We're all guilty of it. I'm not pointing fingers. But everybody, because they want to believe it, they talk themselves into believing it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it looks so stupid, right, on the surface. Like, if another team did it, it's like, oh, okay, good luck you guys. That's risky. We'll see how it works out for you. But because whenever it's the local team and a team that you're rooting for and you really want to do well, you talk yourself into believing it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, yeah, he's just that special. Okay. All right. We'll see how it goes for the kid.
No, it's a bad GM.
It's a bad GM.
He made the wrong decision.
It's a bad GM. Yeah. And it's a bad GM, Joe. My biggest thing, too, and, like, I think I want to get my frustrations out on the other side, actually. We're up against it a little bit. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Number to call in, number to text in. Twitch. Twitch is still around, huh? Twitch is still here?
In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
I was hoping with me being gone a week that they would be gone. I was hoping I would never have to deal with the Twitchers ever again. But they're still here. They're like cockroaches, those Twitchers. Also on YouTube, ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok, ESPN 975. We're on Twitter, ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. More of the bad. I think I do have a rant that's been built up in me about Dana. Not so much Dana. That's what I wanted to stop short of. I don't want to say Dana. The Astros organization at large. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You know one thing that does put a smile on my face? Watching Astro baseball, it makes me lose my smile. But I find my smile when I think about the great food at Federal American Grill. And I find my smile when I think of that summer sunset social hour. I love the alliteration, and I also love that it extends social hour all summer long. It used to be 3 until 7. It was still the best. It was still the best social hour in Houston. The vibe's awesome. You'll love the vibes there. But now it's 3 p.m. until the sun goes down, and that's what you need this summer. It's hot here. We're going to be triple digits all week, it feels like. Well, you go over to Federal American Grill, and you cool down with those $7 cocktails, wine, $5 cold beers. That's my favorite type of beer, is when it's cold. Also, enjoy the $10 appetizers. All 6 of their Houston locations, Shepherd, Hedwig Village, Katy, the Woodlands, Downtown, River Oaks, you know the drill. But the menu's so good, too. All the drinks, martinis, you got your old-fashioneds. We mentioned the specials there. But how about these bites for $10? The meatballs are great. The blackened ahi tuna, fantastic. You like some fries? I'm a fries guy. Truffle fries to die for. You're going to love it out there at Federal American Grill. Have a good old time. Have some great drinks and enjoy some delicious food. You won't have a bad bite at Federal American Grill. Federal American Grill, where great food meets every occasion.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Good, bad, ugly. Astros weekend, 713-780-3776. 3776. 75, yeah, bad word, Espada in his little league coaching. Okay. What did Espada do to make you mad there, though, 75? Give us some context there. There's always some things. Junkie, okay, fine. Give Branham his flowers.
Junkie.
He was right about Cam. About time he gets one right. See, look at that. Even backhanded compliment there. And it wasn't so much a take about Cam. It was more about the handling of Cam. Eric the Buyer, ugly. Dana's job security, bad. Hunter Brown, good. The France versus England game. What? No, that's a bad take, Eric the Buyer. You can't have a third place game being the good. Why would you waste your time with that? That shouldn't – no, terrible. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Rob, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. Great to hear from you, Rob.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call again. I'll go on my little rant before you do. And I know a lot of people disagree with me, but after this weekend, I am 100% on the board, on a boat of that just trade everybody. I've coined the term this weekend that we're either going to tank or trophy, and we are nowhere near a trophy. If Rob Manfred doesn't like it, then we can say trade or trophy. But the Astros roster is abysmal right now and probably won't be competitive till 2030 at the best. And by that time, Yordan is going to be at the back half of his career. Hunter Brown is going to take a massive contract to keep him. The Astros don't do that with pitchers. And then Pena's a Boris guy. He's not going to stay either. So why are we keeping these guys? And I've always said that the best place for Yordan to go is Seattle. I know people disagree with that we can't trade him in our own division. But if we're not winning the title, who cares who does? But they've got to just dump everybody right now and just start over and look towards 2030, 2031. And I think the fan base, having seen it work before, could understand it and could actually get behind it. But they got to dump everybody this year. Although I don't trust Dana to do it, so I don't know who's doing it.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Jeremy, I don't know how you feel. I think that's a sentiment of a lot of Astros fans right now. It's just like coming out of the break and getting embarrassed and getting swept is. I don't think everyone's going to be on. Like, I'm not there just yet. Full sell mode.
That's the hang up. I think a majority of fans and almost all fans would say, yeah, we're in for like a rebuild. But where I think that people would differ from Rob is the Yordan part of it, and maybe the Hunter Brown part of it. I think that's what they would probably stop short. Now, like, I've been arguing with people on Twitter today because, back at work. What they will do and what they should do are not the same, right? Because, like, if I were to predict what the Astros are going to do at the deadline, even if they continue to lose, I don't expect them to trade off pieces. Do I think it's in the best interest of this organization? Yes. To what extent, I think, is probably where the real conversation should be had. Is it worth having that conversation because of what we predict that they're going to do? Probably still worth the conversation just because we talk for 15 hours a week. But I don't predict that they're going to sell. I think they should. I think they should do a sell. Maybe not, Yordan. I could hear that side of the argument, blah, 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 blah. But they should absolutely try to get out of the Christian Walker contract. Mm-hmm. The bad news, though, is he's been so bad and he's just got banged up. Can you trade him again? Now you've entered that part of the conversation where you're like, I wonder if you can no longer trade him because his value's gone. Like, his season numbers are still good enough to be traded, but his recent form is not. His recent injury's not. I tweeted out in May, like, oh, I hope he continues to produce so the Astros can get a prospect for him. Like, no, why would you trade him now? Because he's going to find his level and he's going to be bad again because he's 30-something years old and he's making $20 million next year. The Pena one, to me, if you don't trade Pena by this offseason, I think it's a failure. Now, like, the whole labor dispute certainly throws a wrench into that, like a bad timing on it, because I agree with what Rob said. Like, they almost got a deal done last year. They didn't. He signed Boris. Good luck getting a contract extension done now. And I'm tired of letting free agents walk out of the door for nothing but a compensation pick. Like, that's not how you sustain winning. And this is where the rant goes. Like, Jim Crane, he famously said, like, the window's always open while I'm here. Okay, well, if you're going to do that, you have two choices on how to sustain winning. And you can sustain winning in baseball. I think you can sustain winning in any sport. But I think it's, like, actually easier to do in baseball, a non-salary cap sport, than it is some of the others. But, like, you either have to, A, be willing to spend a lot of money, which isn't the way that I would go. That's not the path I would go. But if you're like, oh, the window's always open while I'm here and we're always going to be good, blah, 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 well, then you probably re-sign at least some of the guys that you left leave in free agency for compensation picks alone. The other way that you could do it, and fans don't like this idea, although whenever it becomes like whatever gets put into practice, they actually kind of, you know, come around to it, is whenever you trade players before they leave for nothing. Like if you would have traded Carlos Correa a year before he was up, Springer a year before he was up, Alex Bregman a year before he was up, in the same vein that you traded Kyle Tucker a year before he was up, and you get, let's just say, comparable return, right? Let's say you get, you know, an arm that's big league caliber. You get a start, like an infielder or a position player that's starting caliber. You get a prospect that might pan out, he might not, but he's a top prospect. He's a top 100 guy. Then you do that four times, you have your winner going forward. So you're reloading and refreshing this never-ending cycle because you're just reloading the system. You're reloading the organization with talent. But when players are leaving in free agency and you're getting nothing in return for them, where is the talent coming from? You're not going to be able to sustain the talent level that is needed to be good. So you either have to overspend to keep the talent that you have, or you have to use the talent to trade for a fresh crop of talent. That way you can always reload. But if that talent just leaves and walks out the door, you're a man with no talent. You're a team with no talent. And, like, the Astros still have some, like, you know, they still have some leftovers, right, of the golden era. They still have some really good players. Yordan Alvarez, the best hitter on the planet, but they're wasting a once. Maybe this might be Yordan Alvarez's career year, right? Like if he wins the Triple Crown, even if he doesn't win the Triple Crown, is Yordan Alvarez ever going to have a better season than he's currently having? There's a really good chance he's not. It's a really good chance this is Yordan Alvarez's greatest season ever. And they're completely wasting it. Why? Because they have this stars and scrub approach. Like, oh, we're going to have a few really good players, and then we're going to backload the roster with a bunch of 4A guys. You can't win in baseball doing that. Baseball is not the NBA, where you can win with two elite players and just backfill the rest of your team with fringe-level players. You can't do that in baseball because guess who's – how does the batting order work? You got to go 1 through 9, 1 through 9, 1 through 9, 1 through 9. So more times than not, the guy batting 9th is going to bat just as often as Yordan. And whenever you're as good as Yordan, good luck getting pitches at any sort of leverage opportunities. So the 8-hole, 9-hole is going to have more important at-bats than your best hitter on the planet. So I just hate the roster build these last few years with Dana. Now, the reason that I don't want to point my finger directly at Dana is because I do think that he did have some challenges. Like he inherited a team that was a bit upside down from the salary perspective. I think it's fair to say that Crane gave him a mandate to stay under the luxury tax this year. Now, the way that he used that money, I think, is certainly up for conversation. Mm-hmm. The EMI thing, I don't think was really his decision. I hate getting into the game, though, of like, okay, this one's Crane, this one's Dana. Like, it's just, we don't really know. We're guessing. We're trusting reports. The way that I look at it is the organization has been doing a very poor job since they fired James Click. That's the way that I look at it. I think they've been doing a really poor job since they fired James Click, and I also think it is time for an organizational restructure, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's moving on from general manager. Maybe it's Crane saying, you know what, I shouldn't be meddling. I shouldn't be, you know, playing around with baseball operations because I've learned since I fired Click that I'm not really good at this. I'm going to hire a general manager, a president of baseball operations that I trust, and I'm going to get the heck out of his way. Like, certain, like, do you establish the payroll, that sort of thing? Okay, you can do that. But other than that, you leave. So I don't want to point a finger at Dana. I don't want to point a finger at Joe. I don't want to point a finger at Crane. I think the Astros hierarchy has done a really poor job in the last few years, and I think we're finally starting to see all of that play out.
I totally agree with you. This is the failure of years of mistakes. It's not, you're right. Like, you laid it out there very well. It's not just one thing that triggered this. Like, if you, I think a lot of people would point to the offseason of where things really went off the rails, of when Bagwell and Crane were the ones who started making decisions and introducing poor contracts to this organization. But they've been able to move on from those, and how they've replaced those guys has not gone effectively well. I mean, they are stuck with this roster now that is lacking a solid core. It really is one guy at the top, and then like Isak Paredes and maybe Pena when he's healthy. When's the key word there? And then everybody else. Everybody else is just kind of on that same level of mediocrity to bad. And that played out in the series over the weekend. Like, there isn't, like, especially through the lineup 1 through 9, like, there isn't really good talent, and the guys that you've paid or have traded for, like Cam Smith, are not performing. So like even the moves they have made necessarily haven't really worked, and they're just at this like awkward spot where like I think they're still going to buy unless they really fall apart over the next, you know, 13, 14 days.
Back.
I know. Like it's not good with what's happening. Like
how do you allow that to happen if you're Crane? Like how do you allow the team? And let's tease that. 713-780-3776. Junkies have thoughts on this as well. More bads. If you're the owner of this team, if you're Jim Crane, I said don't meddle, but I think you kind of have to meddle when you have a lame duck general manager that's fighting for his job. How do you allow this team to buy when they're 4.5 games back of the wild card and 7 games below 500? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN
97.5. 1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission still stands true right now, and you can start your leasing journey right now by calling 713-290-1000 or visiting them at dmautoleasing.com. On their website, you'll see their full list of new vehicles that you can lease and get within the next 24 to 72 hours. When you make that call, you'll speak with a salesperson who's been on there for average of 10-plus years, so you're not going to be dealing with a rookie. You're going to get elite customer service from D&M Leasing. They'll walk you through every question you have. They'll bring the new vehicle right to your house, to your office. They'll take your trade-in. They are going to take care of you. They're going to protect you from negative equity. And if you qualify, you can even get payments for as low as $400 a month, when the average car payment right now is about $800 a month. So you're going to save a lot of money doing this. You're not going to be locked in long-term. You can get a new vehicle in just 3 years through your lease through D&M Leasing. So give them that call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
713-780-ESPN. We draw Yordan to Seattle, Horrible Take Boulevard. I'd rather Yordan not end up in Seattle, and I don't think they're going to trade him. Would you? Maybe. Now, where I'll defend Rob is, like, I do want to get the absolute most for a player. And if I can get, let's just call it 140% of value for a player versus 125% anywhere else, I want the 140% value, you know?
Yeah.
Like, would it be painful to see him at a division rival? Yeah, you're going to play him more. That stinks. You know, maybe he wins a World Series for the first time in Seattle history. Like, that's a little frustrating. But at the same time, my main focus is how I get better in the future. And if I can get 140% return from a division rival as opposed to 125% return from somebody in the National League, I'd rather get the 140% return.
Yeah, I know he's everyone's fan favorite, and rightfully so, and he might win the Triple Crown this year. He's going to win the MVP if he's healthy. But we all talk about the Astros. We all root for the Astros. We all have watched the Angels operate in a very poor way. And I'm surprised there's the pushback with Yordan Alvarez. When you look at the Los Angeles Angels, and they have two guys who they did not trade. They have Mike Trout, who's now washed up, kind of having a resurgence year, but they've wasted his entire career. We've all said for years they should have traded Mike Trout. If they were smart, Junior Caminero would be a Los Angeles Angel, because that was the trade that they agreed upon to send Shohei Ohtani to the Tampa Bay Rays. They didn't do it. And like everyone knows that the Angels messed up with those two guys. Like, I know he's a fan favorite, but like, it's so clear just to look in your division at a team that has had two generational superstars sit on them, and what have they gotten for it? Absolutely nothing. So like, if you think they're going to be bad for the next 5 years or 4 years, Like, I'm surprised that there's not more people that are at least open to the idea, and there's just such severe pushback from Yordan Alvarez when people also don't think there's going to be a contract follow-up to this. So it's like they think he's also just going to leave when his deal is up.
See, there's so many questions whenever you bring up the Alvarez thing. Like, will he be re-signed? If you're not going to re-sign Yordan, then you should trade him right now. Like, his value's not going to get better than it is today. Right? Now, a lot of Astro fans would say, well, re-sign him. Okay. Couple things there. Is Crane going to pay Yordan Alvarez a bigger contract than he's ever given out? Do you trust Yordan from ages 32? Let's say at minimum it's a six-year contract. Do you trust Yordan at the age of 32 into his mid-30s, even into his late 30s, at a very, very high dollar amount? If your answer to that is, oh, I don't think Crane's going to pay him, and or I don't trust Yordan's health into his mid to late 30s, you should consider it. Mm. You should consider it. Now, you know, if you wanted to do this soft reload and you think that you can get better, you know, and be a playoff team next year, maybe a playoff team the year after that because Yordan is so good, and, you know, Hunter Brown I think is going to figure it out. I still have faith in Hunter Brown. Okay, like I can listen to a bit of a soft rebuild. Personally don't love it. But, like, I think it's the second best path. I think that the best path is selling, taking advantage of a seller's market, because there's so many buyers. There are so many buyers right now. If you're one of the few teams, and the Astros, I think, would have a better nucleus of players and talent that are on the trade block than just about anybody. Like, would they have the top name? No, Scooble's the top name. They would if they put Yordan on it. But, like, Jeremy Pena would fetch quite a bit.
Yeah,
Josh Hader would fetch quite a bit. If you wanted to be crazy, throw Hunter Brown. He would fetch quite a bit. How about Peter Lambert? Peter Lambert, as cheap as he is, with an extra year of club control next year, pitching as well as he is, Peter Lambert would fetch a lot. You know, I think Brian Abreu could get you something, maybe not a good prospect, but he's starting to, like, find his velo. He's finding his spin. Okert, like, how many teams that are fighting for a playoff spot or a contender would love to have a lefty that's been as good as Okert has been? Like, you could get something for him. Maybe you could still get out of the Christian Walker contract. I don't think that you're getting a decent prospect in return for him. But what if you can just wash your hands of $20 million next year? It opens up $20 million for you to spend in a season?
Yeah.
I would trade Christian Walker right now for a bucket of curveballs.
Yep. We did that segment.
And just get out of $20 million. And just get out of $20 million next year. Yeah, now, they might have waited too long.
Yeah.
But, no, I would absolutely take advantage of what is very much a seller's market. I don't think that the Astros will. Now, I don't think they're going to be crazy buyers, though. I think that they're probably going to try to trade – you know, fringe prospect they don't think are big leaguers for, like, an average corner outfield bat. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to go out and find a very mediocre left fielder who is a rental, and they're going to trade, like, a C-level prospect for him. I think that's what ultimately they do. I think it's going to be a very, very anticlimactic trade deadline for the Astros on either side.
Yeah, I think the most frustrating scenario here, though, is that this weekend was the start of a brutal reality check, and they're going to be way out of it and then do nothing at the deadline and just, like, hold and just keep the bad roster together.
Yeah.
And not sell. Like, that would be so frustrating, even to have, like, to not find a bucket of curveballs for Christian Walker, to not move Lambert, who could be a one-hit wonder, to not move Arrighetti, who has control.
Guys, I don't think you have to move Arrighetti. I think Arrighetti's a guy that you can, like, okay, he's signed for three more years. Okay, like, you can keep a guy like that.
I think they're guys you could replace, though. Like even so it's like the low level guys to not move them. Like, I kind of feel like that's where we're headed, where it's just going to be kind of status quo, or at best is they buy low, as you said, and this team just misses the playoffs and they continue to perform poorly. Now, they could come out and win this next series, and Marlins are playing, you know, relatively good baseball. Their last series didn't go particularly well, but, like, they were in every single game versus the Brewers. But, like, that's another team that could just walk over you that's played really well this season. And then you play, what, the White Sox after that? Like, it could go really poorly here to start post-All-Star break.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that just, like, the opportunity cost, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just be missing out on the opportunity cost of getting the most value for the guys that you currently have, because you could take advantage of the seller's market. Mm-hmm. I just think they need to be honest with themselves. And I don't think they're going to – you know, I'm holding out hope that Jim Crane's, like, smart enough. And I think he's smart enough. But at the same time, I think he's stubborn, and I think he means, like, hey, we're always going to be a winner while I'm here. I just hold out hope that he's like, you know what? We're not good enough this year. Dana, my mandate to you is that we trade these players. Go out, get the most talent that you possibly can, and, you know, maybe you'll do a good enough job where I'll keep you around next year. Like, well, does he really believe that? No. But Dana Brown is an employee of Jim Crane. If Jim Crane tells Dana Brown his man, like, this is the thing that annoys me too, is you see so many people, well, Dana Brown's not going to sell. He's in the final year of his deal. Well, who does Dana Brown work for?
He works for Jim Crane.
If Jim Crane told Dana Brown, go trade these players for the highest possible trade package you can get for these players, guess what Dana Brown's going to do? He's going to trade them because he's an employee of Jim Crane. So I hate that narrative that I've been seeing. Well, Dana's not going to do that. He's in the final year of his contract. Well, he'll do what his boss says. If his boss tells him to do it, he's going to do it. And I think that there is a sliver of a chance that Dana Brown could still be employed by the Astros next year if he did a good job trading the players. Because there are some pros to Dana Brown as a general manager. I think he's decent at drafting. You know, he's had some players reach the draft, or the bigs. Lucas Spence was an undrafted free agent, reached the bigs. Now, I don't really think he's a big leaguer, but, you know, made the bigs. Jake Bloss made the bigs quickly. You know, Bryce Matthews made the bigs, maybe more out of necessity because it's a star and scrubs team. But I think there's an avenue where they could be sellers, and Dana keeps his job next year, but you hire a president of baseball operations, and Dana basically gets demoted to the number two. He keeps the title of general manager, but when you hire the president of baseball operations, that means Dana's now the number two guy.
Yeah.
I think that would be the avenue. But Dana's going to do what Crane tells him to do.
Yeah.
So, like, I just hate that narrative. They can absolutely be sellers, even though the Dana Brown's in the final year of his contract.
Yeah, it's what the boss says. That's all that matters.
Yeah. It's not that hard to comprehend. Like, if somebody told you to write in this, you know, way, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it, and you're not going to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do people what's everybody's careers, you know? Like, you're a mailman. You know, well, I'm in the final month of my, you know, the final 3 months of me delivering mail. I'm going to start doing it this way. Well, you're not going to see the end of your term.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. 713-780-ESPN. I know it's a little different being a general manager of a baseball team than a mailman. But we appreciate the mailman. How else will we get our mail?
We appreciate them a lot.
Appreciate the Amazon delivery driver.
Honestly, might appreciate them more than most GMs so we can get our stuff.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Junkies have thoughts. We can be. You just air your grievances to us. We still got some bads.
Yeah,
to
I
get
still
to
got one
well.
Left.
You have one. I have seven.
Well, I have one left that I didn't get to yet.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975. Speaking of employment and speaking of human resources, I got to tell you about HRMP. They are the best human resources and payroll. Cougar owned by my colleague, go Cougs. Chris Fisher's over there too. He's good people. Business owners, let HRMP help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HRMP can help in any or all of these areas. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRMP is going to completely customize a plan for you and whatever your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, HRMP is going to find a way to help you. They do it in a way that's unique, too. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love that. But that service, top-notch, guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone who knows you, and they know your business needs. So give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525. Or check them out on the internet at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
I found the YouTube stream of the Adam Walton Blaze Bicknell match.
I do not know.
Yeah, how's it going?
They haven't started yet. Oh. There must be a delay on the court. Must be backed up. No, actually, no. They're well underway. Oh, it's not good. Bicknell won the first set 6-3, but Walton has battled back and is leading the second set 3-0.
What do we have on this one?
But we have Walton at -4.5 games. So, and then we have the under games at 20. So, that's not looking great.
So we're on pace to lose both of them?
Well, we're on four things today, which, by the way, we're only doing a quarter of a unit on all four of these.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Equaling one unit because we have no idea what we're doing. Tennis.com, if you want to follow along, Blaise Bicknell and Adam Walton. And then we're on the Dalia Spiteri, Alessandro Mazzola. It's a woman. They're a pair of women.
I think there were two women, actually.
Yeah, women play women. This isn't the battle of the sexes. Who played the battle? It was Billie Jean King and who Billie Jean King play in the battle of the sexes? I don't remember. Anyway, Spiteri and Mazzola.
Is that the dome? I know that.
One game apiece. So we're rooting for Spiteri to pull the upset there.
I'm trying to Google who Billie Jean King played. Bobby Riggs?
That's right.
Bobby Riggs. There I couldn't remember Bobby Riggs' name. My favorite Riggs is the guy from Friday Night Lights. It was Riggins, right?
Yeah.
I think it was Riggins.
It was
the fullback.
His name was Tim.
Tim Riggins.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fullback. He played Tim Riggins, whoever that actor's name is. Yeah. He played David Koresh in Waco.
He did. It was excellent.
And he got really, really skinny.
Yeah, that show was – he's awesome in that show.
Yeah. David Koresh couldn't win me with his raffish charm, though. No matter how much they tried, that raffish charm wasn't gonna yank me in.
He's trying to recruit you at 10 years old?
I wasn't going to be a Branch Davidian. Wasn't going to happen. 713-780-ESPN. Gene says King and Bobby Riggs. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate you. We were right there. We're on it. It was on the tip of the tongue. Couldn't remember Riggs' name, though. 713-780-ESPN. Junkie. The entire AL is volatile, so it's
Junkie?
A gamble to be buyers or sellers. How much of a gambler is Crane? See, I think Crane's a gambler, but I don't think he's – I think he's just too – like he feels like he's pot committed to this team. This organization. He feels like he has to try to win every year. I think it's foolish. I think it's foolish of him.
Like, what's he going in here? Like, all in on, like, 2-7 off suit?
I just think he's gonna, is that what this team is?
Well, that'd be literally the worst.
It's not 7-2. It's
yeah,
not
they're not literally the worst.
I mean, that's...
Maybe it's like a off-suited connectors. Yeah, maybe it's like an 8-9 off suit.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that feels right.
It wouldn't be a suited connector. That'd be too live.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think we even need a gap there. Maybe like a 7-9 offsuit.
I'm thinking 8-9 offsuit here.
Off.
Right.
Thinking 8-9 offsuit. He's going to stick around. He's going to limp in. He's going to call, you know, any sort of pre-flop raise. Mm-hmm. You know, he might see the turn.
He's going to need runner to win, but he still talks himself into staying in.
But he's going to be very meek about it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to try to win the pot. You know, he's going to be meek. He's just going to, like, kind of hang around. So hope he gets lucky at the end. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Does Pena hold the same trade value with the history of consistent injury? I'm sure he'll fetch a good haul, but that diminishes value at all. Sure. Absolutely it diminishes his value. Now, he is in the lineup today. So, you know, maybe it was just a cramp again, which is weird. A lot of cramps there. You know, drink your electrolytes.
It still feels like he would be the best shortstop on the market.
Oh, no doubt.
So that's where, like, yes, his value technically deterred, yes, but, like, a team like the Yankees or someone that is in desperate for consistent shortstop play, I think you could get quite a haul for.
Like, if you think you could get him 130% of his return, maybe the injuries dock it to 125.
Yeah.
So, like, it still trends down an iota, but not a lot. An iota, but not an iota. You know what I mean? Walker's not in the lineup, though. They're just hanging around. Like, hey, Christian Walker is so important to us that we need to keep him on the 26-man roster because maybe he can play 2 or 3 games instead of that 10-day IL.
I mean, someone's got to replace Lance McCullers as the lead cheerleader on this roster. So,
like, what? Why? Christian Walker could use a reset here. This is going to be the second game in a row he doesn't play. Why didn't you 10-day IL him? Well, he can get us 5 games. Do you want him for 5 games?
No.
This team's bad, man. It's a bad offense. Look at this lineup. Pena, okay, you feel good about that. Jordan, you feel great about. Isak, all right, not bad. The 4-9 tonight, Jose Altuve. Lamont Wade, who's been DFA'd by 2 different teams.
Mm-hmm. I do not know this man.
Who, like, gives you decent blood up here. He's, like, the 4th best hitter on this team. Yiner's been a little bit better since he's come back from the injury.
Yes.
Still not great. Taylor Trammell, who's been awful since he's come back from injury. Zach DiZenzo, who can't run out a drop third strike, which annoys me to no ends. And then Lucas Spence, undrafted free agent.
Is that guy?
This is what you're going to contend with, guys?
That outfield is comically bad.
This is what you are contending with? Gross. But meanwhile, they'll trade Jesus Sanchez to save $6.5 million that they won't use.
But, Jeremy, his WAR is lower than Joey Loperfido's.
He does have a lower WAR than Joey Loperfido.
I saw people tweeting that at you.
Even though he's got an 800 OPS against righties, and this team's been begging for a left-handed hitter for 4 years now. See, this is why I don't like this organization. Dana Brown, we need a lefty hitter. Trades for the best lefty hitter he's had outside of Kyle Tucker, left-handed outfielder. I'm not considering Yordan an outfielder, even though you stick him out there every now and then. Trade him away whenever everybody's like, yeah, we understand he had two bad months for you. Whenever the hitting coaches that you fired were tinkering with his swing, maybe give the next guys a chance with him. Mm-hmm. A guy that had a 776 career OPS against righties. Maybe allow your next hitting coaches to work with him. In Toronto, his OPS is north of 800 against right-handed pitching.
It's pretty good.
There's a lefty that – you know what an 800 OPS would do for you, Joe? It'd be the second best OPS in the lineup today.
Yeah,
now, Sanchez's OPS is not 800 on the year. This is strictly against right-handed pitching. But it is 753 on the year, which would be good for fourth best on this team today.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got to save $6.5 million.
Got to save.
That guy would be hitting cleanup today for you. He'd be hitting cleanup for you today. Oh, but his WAR is lower than Joey Loperfido. He'd be hitting fourth for you. Joey Loperfido's in Sugarland. Joey Loperfido can't make this team, but Taylor Trammell can, but Zach DiZenzo can, but Lucas Spence can, because Christian Walker's so important, he still has a job. Lamont Wade can. Like, they don't like Joey Loperfido. They've told you three times they don't like Joey Loperfido. They traded Joey Loperfido. Now they got a good return for Yusei, so okay. You know, maybe that's not a greatest deal. They didn't bring him up, and they signed Lamont Wade, who has been on four different teams in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call up Lucas Spence, an undrafted free agent, over Joey Loperfido. Who, by the way, Joey Loperfido has better offensive numbers in AAA than Lucas Spence.
And they didn't choose him.
But they didn't choose Joey Loperfido. What does that tell you how they feel about Joey Loperfido?
They don't like him.
They don't think he's a big leaguer. They don't think he's a – but the problem is, because this is such a stars and scrub team with like two stars, four above average players, and the rest scrubs, is that you have to carry a few of these guys. This team's bad. It's a poorly constructed team. And this is where I'll pick on Dane a little bit, and maybe it was the mandate from ownership. You traded – Jesus Sanchez, whose career, I know he had a bad 2 months for you. I know he sucks at defense, and I know he can't run on the bases. He's Jose Altuve. But you traded a guy who had a 774 career OPS against right-handed pitching. You say you need left-handed bats, yet you trade that away. For a 4A player who you're storing in Sugar Land, who can't play above, you know, this lousy bottom half of your roster. You trade Mauricio Dubon for Nick Allen. Dubon's been awesome. Dubon's been really good. You would have never predicted that,
Dubon.
I understand. But you would have predicted that Dubon was better than Nick Allen at the start of the year. So you save $5 million there. So you save like $11 million, but then you don't use the money.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, he's saving the money for the deadline. Well, you might be out of it by the deadline. Why not go into the season with as good a team as you can construct? He just flies by the seat of his pants. Well, you know, we're going to trade for that Cam Smith guy. We're not sure if he's a third baseman or a right fielder. We're going to move him to right. Good decision, but it's not like, let's not, you know, applaud him for like a stroke of genius. That's what you do with infielders who can't play, you know, in the dirt. You move them to the outfield. That's been going on in baseball for 100 years. But there was, well, we're just going to start him right there in the bigs. It's a poorly run organization.
Yeah.
It's a poorly run. And what's really sad about this is for 8 years, it was the best-run organization. So you go from being the best-run organization for almost a decade to a poorly-run organization. Yeah, an owner that's meddling, that fires World Series-winning general managers, that then goes out and spends money on foolish players, that then hires a general manager, and this is where you like it gets murky. You're like, I don't know how much is Crane meddling, how much is Bagwell meddling. But they like says a bunch of different things and doesn't do. Oh, we're going to sign everybody. Okay, he's done it with Javier. It turned out to be a bad signing. Hindsight 2020, I understand. We're not going to field a good, deep team to start the year. We're just going to wait, see how it goes, and then, you know, do that at the deadline. we're just going to call up Lucas Spence's of the world after we trade for Joey Loper. It's just like, what are they doing?
What are they really doing?
They're just flying by the seat of their pants. They don't have any plans.
I think those are the keywords right there. They don't have a plan. Their plan is to keep the window open. They don't know how they're going to do it.
They traded Jesus Sanchez for Joey Loperfido, which, okay, people might feel differently than I feel about that. I understand that. I understand it was a bad 2 months, and we never want to see him again. I get that perspective. But then what did he say as he was walking off from the media? We're not done yet?
Mm-hmm. They were done.
They signed Christian Vasquez to a minor league deal. That's not what he meant, was it?
No.
Was that what he meant?
No, it's not what he meant.
Like, they talk too much. Dana talks too much. And then he doesn't fulfill and do what he says.
Yeah. Jerry, we've been hearing on left field.
It's so weird.
A left hitting outfielder for 3 years now.
And they've traded their two best ones.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Tucker, which I'm cool with that. And they traded Sanchez, which again, I get people are like, who cares? Sanchez sucks. Not really. He's a good offensive player against right-handed pitching. I think there's a spot for him on any big league team. In fact, the team who went to the World Series was quick to trade for him. Are you going to trust a team who just went to the World Series, or are we going to trust like Joe Blow on the streets? Okay? So like, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind that a team that went to the World Series was like, hey, we're going to trade Joey Loperfido for Jesus Sanchez. What does that tell you? That the team that went to the World Series prefers Jesus Sanchez. But we want Loperfido more because he's cute and he's handsome. And Jesus Sanchez was bad for 2 months because the hitting coaches were messing with him that we fired. This team has no plan. Brian, tell me go to break. I'm mad. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. But something that brings me back to a little bit of levity. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. That makes me calm. That's where I find my composure. Whenever I think about the nature of Two Creeks Crossing Resort, the 92 acres of property, because it's awesome out there. It's awesome. I get my zen out there. I get my peace out there. And you will, too. Get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors, because you're certainly not finding that with your baseball. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. Open green spaces for you. Wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees, some of the best fishing in Texas, another way to find your zen. You can ground out there. That's always something that's very helpful. You can't beat it either. Or how about just hang out in their water park, Blue Bayou Bend? That's really fun. They got some great water activities for you. They got the Lazy River, great way for you to kick back, relax. They got the pool out there still, Swampers, where you can get a cold one. They're always taking care of their visitors, too. Food trucks, live music all the time, weekend activities. They know how to put on a party. You're going to love it at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. If you already have an RV, great. RV hookup spots are there for you waiting. Treehouse out there, too. Twitch is like, what's a treehouse? I can't wrap my mind around a treehouse. You just walk up the steps. You stay in a house that's perched in the tree. But Twitchers sometimes don't have homes. Waterfront cabins there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort and glamping for you, too, which we all love to do. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.